W1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. New concerns about the ISIS-K terror offshoot. It claimed responsibility for an attack on a concert hall in Russia and is calling for an attack in the U.S.
Police on high alert after terror threats made against the upcoming Cricket World Cup on New York's Long Island. Authorities now saying an extra 100 officers will be assigned to the event. Hundreds of thousands of people are expected to attend the tournament. A no-fly zone will be enforced and no bags will be allowed inside unless they are clear and medically necessary.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Before deliberation resumes in Donald Trump's hush money trial today, the jury will get a read back of testimony from Michael Cohen and the former publisher of the National Enquirer. Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines is blocking the Biden administration's nomination of a woman who would be the state's first Native American federal judge. This is ABC News. In California, voters will not get to weigh in on a measure requiring public schools to notify parents if their child asks to change their gender identification at school. Backers fell way short of the more than 500,000 signatures needed to get it on the ballot in November. People unclear on the concept. Michigan's Corey Harris got his driver's license suspended, but when it came time for a court hearing in Ann Arbor, Harris used his camera phone to attend while driving.
Mr. Harris, hello? Are you driving?
Actually, I'm pulling into my doctor's office, actually. So just give me one second.
Harris's attorney was in court. Judge J. Cedric Simpson flabbergasted.
So maybe I don't understand something. This is a driving with a license suspended?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And he was just driving, and he didn't have a license.
The judge revoked Harris's bond and ordered him to surrender. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.fm.
Mino and the Mayor.
Dave Elson.
Mayor Schmidt used to have this green jacket that said Mayor Schmidt and used to run the CellCom marathon training run. And I don't know, he was talking to someone. I don't know how that could happen. And he wasn't paying attention and there was a car coming and he's about to go into traffic. And I reached my arm out in front, right in his chest, and I stopped him. I said, Mayor Schmidt, some people think that jacket's Target.
Weekday mornings, 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband, Jim, would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lan and Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream. Right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous. Jimmy, where's the guy?
Do you have
that?
A picture?
I don't. That's phenomenal.
Mino and the Mayor. Weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Ace Champion joins us with some special music to promote a show he has coming up at the Tarleton Theater.
And our friend Pat Tracy from Discover Oshkosh joins us with a list of things to do this weekend in Oshkosh.
Weekday mornings 6 till 9. This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 72 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 45 tomorrow, partly cloudy, 77. A few scattered showers possible on Saturday with a high near 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Look, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, I just don't get it. What was in it for them?
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we learn about Riverside Rhythms coming to downtown Waukesha in hour number 2. A new GOP coloring book should be fascinating conversation. Join us.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10. So.
The sun is going to shine again today. We're going to get a little bit warmer. Welcome to it. It's a Thursday. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Come on in. Yep, the weather is definitely going to be enjoyable today and a lot of outdoor activities we can catch on after the rains over Memorial Weekend. Sunshine on the way today. The La Crosse area, you're probably going to hit around 75 degrees. Madison, 73. A little cooler along the lakeshore, probably in the mid-60s. A little bit of a breeze as well. Partly cloudy skies roll back into Wisconsin tomorrow. Temperatures still into the 70s. And then watch out. Saturday, another chance of at least morning showers. We'll get the details from Stu Muck, our ag meteorologist. He's on the way in about 15 minutes. We're also talking this morning with Katie Burgess from EverAg about big drop yesterday in the dairy markets. Barrel cheese was down too. 40-pound block cheese dropped a nickel. AA butter now under $3 a pound. It looks like dairy fell out of favor. We'll find out what Katie has to say about that. And we're also talking this morning about what the Wisconsin State Fair is trying to do to prepare for animals coming into the state from outside our borders. Remember that high path avian influenza alert, trying to protect our dairy industry as well as our poultry industry, requiring additional testing of dairy animals coming into the state. Talking with Sherry Black, Executive Director and General Manager of State Fair Park on this Thursday morning.
What do you look for in a lending partner? Someone who supports smart decision-making for your farm or ranch, agribusiness, investment, or community. Someone who values relationships. Someone who, when you face adversity, looks you in the eyes and says, we are here. Find the lending partner you're looking for at Compere Financial. Visit Compere.com to get started today. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved.
Rural internet providers are telling us that they know how important broadband is for your home, your business, and your family, and they're asking for patience as they work to finish that last mile of installation and bring service right to your doorstep. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Garen Mayer joins us. He's the CEO of Vernon Communications Cooperative. He says in the past 6 years, they've gotten nearly $14 million in broadband grants to bring high-speed internet to roughly 4,000 locations. Garen says he's keeping his pulse on any more grants coming down the pipeline to make this process go faster. He says without support from state and federal grants, rural projects are hard to justify.
For a lot of us small providers without grant money, it's very difficult to build a case to go into new territories or unserved territories, last mile territories, I should say. The grants really do open the doors for us. It's to build that business case to make the project feasible.
Why is it hard to make the case to go into the underserved areas? What is it that's so expensive? What are the hurdles?
The main hurdle that we face is construction costs. It's the deployment of that fiber to that right to your doorstep, right? It's an expensive proposition. Some of these projects are total hundreds of miles when we go into an area. And that really is that first hurdle is, how do we build that fiber to that location? How do we justify that? How do we get over that hurdle?
I kind of want a scale comparison here between regions that are dense with homes, that it makes more sense for a cooperative like yours to go into, versus the areas in rural Wisconsin where it might be just like one home every mile. Can you give us a comparison?
The most dense area near us would be like La Crosse, Smyrna, where, you know, you're in your head, you're thinking more of that city, right? You've got the homes, 12 homes in a square block kind of setting. And to your point, a lot of the areas that we're expanding into do fall into that one, maybe three homes per mile a build. And in this region, you know, some of those are the year-round residents, some are a mix of, we've got summer people, if you will, the summer cabins, whatnot, the hunting shacks, things of that nature that get mixed in to these. So you really got to look at it and say, you know, where are those families at? Where are those, you know, Wisconsin residents that are there year-round? We're really trying to reach, and that, again, that kind of puts that density into that one to three in a lot of the areas we're going.
Despite some of the hurdles of cost and construction, you were able to take advantage of some of these broadband grants through the state and federal programs and reach, did I hear you say, 4,000 homes and businesses?
When we say passed, that's kind of what we say. We passed the location. We've brought in past, you know, about 4,000 what we call underserved homes and businesses through the region that we built. Our buildouts have been mainly Crawford County, with our first kind of filled out some of the areas there. We've built into finished out some of Vernon County, and then are currently working on our Monroe County, a portion of Monroe County to the south there.
What can these families, what can these businesses do now that they couldn't have done before? What have you heard from your customers?
What we hear so often is that, you know, the kids can do their homework now. One of the more significant stories, I guess, that comes to mind is we had a gal north of our territory, worked for a large operation, and had, as part of her large farming operation, as part of her duties, she had to handle emergency callouts. What that meant for her, being in an area without high-speed broadband, is when she would have to jump in action, a lot of times that's, you know, during emergency times. Of course, it never happens at, you know, 2 in the afternoon. It happens at midnight, happens at 2 in the morning. And what she was doing is driving into the office to complete her duties. You know, it got to the point where she ultimately moved into our territory to receive sufficient broadband. You know, she moved into the territory. That's how she needed it. But we're excited because the area that she did live in, it will be part of this grant. So it's going to open that door for her again to kind of go, you know, maybe I don't want to be in town anymore. I want to move back out to my country home. And we do hear those types of things from people, is you're opening that door for us. You're opening a door for the farms in our area to conduct much more business. We've had a few small farms that have actually been able to now sell the product via the internet, right? And prior to that, it's trying to get into the market. And when I say that, you know, the small scale, mom and pop that we all love, that have now been able to kind of stay where they are, expand their business with the simple and amazing broadband service that's provided. So we really feel it's a game changer for rural Wisconsin residents to be able to have that high-speed broadband.
Can you walk us through why the timeline can be pretty long between when the check is cut and when the fiber optics are in and ready to go?
It never feels fast enough. You know, for that family that is sitting out there right now in our territory that's waiting for us to finish our expansion grant in Monroe County, it's not quick enough. And really what happens is, you know, the grant is announced, whether it be federal or state, or combination of both. We as a provider, I have assessed an area. We're usually prepped ahead of the grant coming out. We submit everything we can, try to make it a really attractive product to receive that grant, try to win that one. Once it goes into, the application is put in, the entity weighing it out, either the PSC or feds, again, or both, they, you know, have a duration window, and then they make their announcements. Once they make their announcements, we jump into permitting. Permitting takes quite a little bit. It's a big challenge for us with all the entities we have to go through to make sure that we're okay and placing the facility. Then we get to wait for the weather, right? So, I mean, you know, in Wisconsin, we typically feel we have about a 7-month window, and a lot of these things cycle through. So, I mean, even when you've awarded, let's say if the timing falls into that, January, we've got to wait till the ground thaws out. When all this happens, right, we've got material to order. We've got to get that in place. We've got to get our contractors in place via bidding process. We got to wait for the weather. That awesome day in spring hits. We've got everything lined, and now we've got to go place the facility. Placing the facility, I would love to say, is a 2-second process, but, you know, placing hundreds of miles of fiber optic in the ground, typically for us, it's a big process. And once we've got that in, we've got to get what we call to each location a drop. So we bring that fiber to your doorstep, we splice it, we test it. At that point, we're ready to provide service. And so there's just a lot of wheels in motion prior to getting it. So I love it when it's like, hey, you know, Vernon, you were the winner in this, let's get going. It's very exciting knowing right behind it that we as a provider are also frustrated that we can't just get it done that day. Like, we'd love to just turn up everybody instantly. But again, a big process behind the scenes to get everything going.
So would you say from the day they say you've won to the day a home is connected, is it like two years, 1 year?
It can be both. We recently, our Crawford grant, with the construction schedule and timing, we went into year two on that. For our Monroe grant, we began that kind of late 23, and we will be finishing 24, which is it's the requirement of the grant. So, I mean, some of those customers are going to feel like it's a long time. Some are going to go, hey, that's you know, that wasn't so long.
Garen Mayer along with us. He is the CEO and general manager of Vernon Communications Cooperative. He's advocating for more rural broadband grants to help them install fiber in rural Wisconsin. They've already brought high-speed internet to more than 4,000 rural locations, and he says they're keeping their pulse on anything else coming down the pipeline. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the home of the frozen tundra, Green Bay's choice for news talk, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A poll by Gallup finds majority support for a major third-party option among almost every segment of voters, ticking up to 63% last fall. This includes increases among Republicans and independents. Gallup asks this question: in your view, do the Republican and Democratic parties do an adequate job of representing the American people, or do they do such a poor job that a third major party is needed? Among those who answered no, a third party is needed, 58% identified as Republicans, 75% as independents, and 46% as Democrats. As to household income, 63% of voters with incomes less than $50,000 thought a third party was needed. Incomes of $50,000 to $100,000 were 58%, and over $100,000, 70%. Since 2013, support for a major third party hovers at plus or minus 60% and hasn't dropped below 40% since the poll's inception in 2003. Third parties have been viewed as spoilers in American elections, such as Ralph Nader and the Green Party in 2000 or independent Ross Perot in 1992. But democracy reform advocates argue single ballot open primaries offer more choices, and ranked choice voting allows voters to vote with their heart for a third party candidate while still choosing a major party candidate as a second choice. We've linked to the Gallup poll and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time when we take a look at the very important topic of mental health. It is May, which is Mental Health Month. Be with us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Free and open to the public, if you're somebody that genuinely takes in the Dane County Farmers Market, then you'll be happy to see some of the changes or the additions, I guess I should say, on Saturday when the cows and calves show up. More on that in just a moment. This morning, we want to focus in on a special grant program that's been administered through the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection. 125 Wisconsin farms have picked up a little money through the state's Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. One of those, Manitowoc County Farm, Sullivan Family Farm. Ryan Sullivan and his wife started farming after 26 years of dedication with the U.S. Air Force. And now they're finding agriculture is a great way to serve their community. Ryan Sullivan explains.
We market into the program. We're paid, so it's kind of wholesale for us. We receive the contract for a certain amount, and we project the amount of vegetables and meat products put in. Then the food is shipped to food pantries, food distribution places that qualify to receive it. And we've been able to work with Grow It Forward in Manitowoc, which is a great food pantry. They'll put on community meals. We've been able to move a lot of fresh vegetables, a lot of ground beef and ground lamb into there. So we're very thankful to be a part of that. A great use of money spent into the program for any sort of food assistance.
And Ryan Sullivan says they try to make sure they're a reliable source for all of that local food, and he uses technology like hoop houses.
It allows us to get more than a two-month jump on production. Being able to get in that, you know, protected environment and obviously keep them warm, keep the consistent watering on them, they really thrive. So having the hoop houses to grow in makes an enormous difference for us and a lot of growers. Anyone that utilizes knows it's all about season extension. So getting an early start with the peas is just a great benefit.
Ryan Sullivan from Sullivan Family Farm in Manitowoc, one of 125 Wisconsin farms, getting a little money from the state's local food purchase assistance program to try to turn around and help feed those in his community. Kind of a cool story. You noticed he said to have to use a little technology if you want to be able to jumpstart your growing season like hoop houses. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us this morning. Yeah, hoop houses would have been helpful. Although what's strange about this spring, Stu, is it seems like we were warmer back more in April than we have been in May.
Well, we're going to turn that thermostat up a little bit here too, Pam, to wrap up this week and the weekend. So
long as we turn the water spigot off, dude.
Well, yeah, that's got to be. I received a picture where they tried to run the haybine yesterday.
Was it rutted up, dug in pretty deep?
Yeah, kind of a mess. Talking about maybe needing duals or hoping that it really does dry up.
Oh, that's not a good thing. I thought about that after you said it yesterday. Well, a lesson learned, I guess. But like you said, it's going to dry out a little bit more today, but I am kind of casting cautionary words out there about, Friday night into Saturday?
Yeah, there's a little rain there. That's not going to be a real big deal, but, you know, another tenth of an inch or two, unfortunately. And we have to look at another beautiful day today. There's going to be a lot of sunshine. We have a nice dry day. There's rain scattered through the central and western Dakotas, Nebraska, and Kansas. It's that far away. We are going to stay dry today. There's high pressure right over eastern Wisconsin, so we have sunshine, nice conditions, east and southeast breezes helping to push those temperatures up, but a low pressure system that's out to the west, the one that's bringing some of that rain in the Dakotas and those areas, will begin to push in. Not going to be a real clean, you know, push in and pass right through. It pushes in and kind of hangs out to the west with some rain chances even later Friday in western Wisconsin overnight, just into early Saturday. And like I've said, a tenth of an inch or two, not a big deal. But that front doesn't clear out, and another system building in will lead to more of that shower chance late Sunday lasting into Monday. We may have a little more to talk about early next week as far as rain. Not going to flood us out, but keeping on with that rain chance again as we start next week. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Grilling will never be dull as long as you partner with Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Bay Pam Yonke here for the crew at the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchroner Road in Fitchburg. I want to remind you again about their expanded store hours. Monday through Friday, 9 until 7. Saturday, 9 until 1. Boy, they are ready for you. And the creativity that Bavaria Sausage is bringing to your grill this summer, amazing. And why not think about their Landjagers for that hiking trip or when you're taking the kids to the zoo, something like that. Bavaria's created a brand new Kranjager. It brings Wisconsin's heritage fruit, the cranberry, together with that German traditional flavor of Landjager. Take a look online, BavariaSausage.com, Bavaria Sausage on Facebook. They're introducing new tastes, new flavors, new options all the time. And don't forget about it, their expanded store hours, Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1, Bavaria Sausage in Fitchburg. All right, buddy, let's have that forecast.
All right, sunshine today. There it is. Nice stuff. And I'd expect we talk about some low 70s. There's a frost advisory way north, Park Falls, Tomahawk, Rhinelander, and north, of course. Now I'm expecting wet winds will become more southeast today at about 5. Still clear early tonight. Clouds build in the west. We hold in the low and mid 40s, and the southeast winds at 5. Tomorrow, sunny east, clouds develop. There could be some rain in far west and northwest Wisconsin late Friday. Low and mid-70s, cooler where the clouds are. South winds 5 to 10. It's that chance of rain then Friday night, Pam, lasting into Saturday. Clearing out a bit in the west, still cloudy east later in the day. Very low 70s, south winds at 5. And then that chance of a shower again later Sunday into Sunday night. So it's not drying out for long.
Boy, and does that look like that extends well into June? I just keep thinking prevent plants. I know what the date is in my head for me, and I just keep thinking, is this an extended forecast that way?
Well, there is that chance, but it's not that great. You know, not saying it's going to rain an inch on Tuesday, yeah, but there could be some showers.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Catch up with you tomorrow. Thanks, Stu.
All right. See ya.
Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, with your weather update on a Thursday, like it or not.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. Just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends? To work on your attention span? Or to win a prize, like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Jim Schmidt, your former mayor of Green Bay. You know, I've always cared about local issues. I still do. Join me on my new show, Lean Local, here on WGBW. I'll interview community leaders and elected officials, discuss the economy and development projects, and we'll talk about the future of education here in Greater Green Bay. As they say, all politics is local. So join me for Lean Local, Sunday at 1 p.m. on the Talk of Green Bay, 97.9 WGBW.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Mino and the Mayor.
Dave Elson. Mayor Schmidt used to have this green jacket that said Mayor Schmidt and used to run the CellCom Marathon training run. And I don't know, he was talking to someone. I don't know how that could happen. And he wasn't paying attention and there was a car coming and he's about to go into traffic. And I reached my arm out in front, right in his chest, and I stopped him. I said, Mayor Schmidt, some people think that jacket's Target.
Weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. New concerns about the ISIS-K terror offshoot. It claimed responsibility for an attack on a concert hall in Russia and is calling for an attack in the U.S.
Police on high alert after terror threats made against the upcoming Cricket World Cup on New York's Long Island. Authorities now saying an extra 100 officers will be assigned to the event. Hundreds of thousands of people are expected to attend the tournament. A no-fly zone will be enforced and no bags will be allowed inside unless they are clear and medically necessary.
ABC's Rhiannon Alley. Before deliberation resumes in Donald Trump's hush money trial today, the jury will get a read back of testimony from Michael Cohen and the former publisher of the National Enquirer. Montana Republican Senator Steve Daines is blocking the Biden administration's nomination of a woman who would be the state's first Native American federal judge. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. This summer could be the hottest in history. The National Weather Service predicts Wisconsin will see temperatures anywhere from 33 to 50% higher than normal in the months of June, July, and August. 2023 was the hottest year since 1850. Early signs of a record-breaking summer showed up last June when temperatures were around 2.7 degrees hotter than average multiple days in a row. We could see more temperature records fall in the coming months. More bad news on the weather front. Wisconsin's severe storm season is just beginning. Last year, 21 total tornadoes touched down in Wisconsin. This year, the tornado count is already 22 before the end of May. If a tornado is near, move to the basement or a room with few doors and windows. If you are outside, find a low, flat location and watch out for flying debris. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Packers OTAs continue. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers had a lively practice outdoors with 11-on-11 in helmets and shorts. There is a proposal from the players' union to cancel all off-season workouts next year in exchange to reporting for training camp earlier in July. I asked the Packers' new running back, Josh Jacobs, on his reaction.
You do look forward to that time off because in reality, we don't get a lot of time off.
Right.
But, you know, especially for the guys with families, man, you know, you kind of want to spend that time and enjoy that time.
Sure.
At the end of the day, too, I think you got to keep the main thing, and, you know, football is the main thing.
Baseball, the Brewers jumping out to a 7-1 lead. They went on to beat the Cubs 10-6. Home runs from Christian Yelich, Willy Adames, and outfielder Blake Perkins.
Yeah, it was great. Joey set the tone, and then Yelly came up huge for us and just really let everybody know that, hey, guys, we can get on this guy. I'm just proud of our guys, the way they came out.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy. The series wrapping up today with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Hernan Ballard. He's with the Madison Library of Things. It's a brand new co-op. What kind of things? We'll find out first thing in the morning.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to 72 for a high this afternoon with wind out of the south at around 5 to 15. Tonight, clear, 45. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, 77. A few scattered showers possible on Saturday with a high near 75. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature, 44.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on the talk of Green Bay, 97.9 FM and 1590 AM WGBW. And on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Allbush Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mino and the Mayor.
Dan Van Lan and Hobart Lawrence Police.
Man, I went to the Ostoff. It's a Saturday night, and I'm checking everything out, and I look, and there's Jimmy. And Jimmy's got this ice cream cone. Not a lot of cone, but a lot of ice cream, right, Jimmy? That thing was monstrous. Jimmy, where's the guy?
Do you have
there?
A picture?
I don't.
That's
I
did phenomenal. Say that.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
Smokey the Bear.
Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
It's what you desire. Don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com, and remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Melissa was my neighbor in L.A. Her husband Jim would break open these $100 bottles of wine they just have sitting around.
A friend of mine and I went to his friend's house. Her dad put like a $500 bottle of scotch down on the table and was like, hey, I got this for you guys. Like, go ahead. We're 18. We can't appreciate this. I've never had an alcoholic beverage in my life until my 21st birthday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Guys like Santana Dotson.
And now back to the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Sunshine on the way for a Thursday, and we're staying dry. That's the good news I bring you. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. Welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. We've got our friend Katie Burgess, broker analyst with EverAg, stepping in about 15 minutes from right now. Yesterday, we saw a little bit of a sell-off in our dairy complex. Is that a signal that dairy producers need to be paying attention to? Those kinds of questions coming up with Katie Burgess on the way. Like I said, sunshine on the way today in the 70s around the La Crosse area and Madison, probably low 70s along the lakeshore, a little bit on the cooler side into the mid-60s. Looks like the next chance of rain rolls across the state, maybe Friday night into Saturday. But at that right now, only about a 30% chance. That's good news. So let's see. On this day in history, what can I tell you? Only one that's really noteworthy to me today. Back on this day in 1911, the very first Indianapolis 500 race was held. Today, it's become one of the world's most prestigious sporting events, but it happened on this day back in 1911 to kick off the event. Of course, last weekend was the Indianapolis 500 under rain delays down in Indianapolis. Let's talk about what's happening today in Wisconsin agriculture. I'll tell you what, we're still being very vigilant on protecting Wisconsin's dairy industry, dairy herds, from the high path avian influenza that's impacted some dairy herds, I think totaling 35 as of right now across the United States. Of course, there's restrictions now on cattle coming into Wisconsin or leaving Wisconsin. All have to be tested negative for high path avian influenza before they can move. You know, stop and think about that. It's already impacted some of our spring dairy shows. Folks just don't want to spend the time or the energy to test their cattle to bring them in for a day event. What about the Wisconsin State Fair? You forget there is an open show featured at the Wisconsin State Fair. I talked to Sherry Black, General Manager and CEO of State Fair Park in West Allis, who's already working very diligently, not only on the upcoming Wisconsin State Fair, but plenty of other activities. She said they just had a conversation about this at their recent board meeting.
So we are continuing to monitor the situation, of course. We're a little early, being end of May right now. We are hopeful that it's not going to affect us, but you never know. It could. So we are kind of holding off right now, but all the most up-to-date information is on the department website, DATCAP website. So we would ask anybody with questions to please utilize those links on that website, because that will have the most up-to-date information. And we will get something on our website to direct people to that. But rest assured, we are certainly watching this. Of course, the health and safety of our fairgoers, exhibitors, and staff is our top priority. So we will make sure that everyone is safe here at Wisconsin State Fair.
Absolutely. And the other, Sherry and I both had to kind of remind ourselves of outside the state exhibitors that do come to Wisconsin with their dairy cattle?
That is correct, because we do have an open show. But our junior fair exhibitors, their cattle should all be in state, so they should be fine and not require any of that testing.
Right. So we, again, just reminding folks, think ahead. Hopefully by the time we get to August, maybe this will be nothing but a distant memory, but always important to bear that in mind. Let's talk a little bit more, Sherry, for a moment about that board that helps to guide business at State Fair Park, and that this is just one of the conversation pieces that you folks routinely have. What other things do you generally talk about at these meetings?
Well, we talk about our vendors. We have to share when a vendor sells one of their permanent stands, or they're doing some type of updating to their stands, any of those construction projects, when they are enhancing the stands. That's all very important for our board to be informed about. Our exhibitors' numbers, they like to hear that. Our sales that we have at the main stage, of course, they get a whole financial report from our CFO at every meeting that shows where we are exactly in all of our finances. So that's extremely important. I always give my report, my remarks, to kind of highlight some of the things that we have going on at the park, or what our team here at Wisconsin State Fair Park is busy doing. As you know, we just had Egg Discovery Day on April 28th, where we welcomed 1,200 students along with chaperones and teachers here to the park, where we had areas set up all throughout about agriculture, and our volunteers came in to help with that. We were so thankful, as well as our staff. The board absolutely loves to hear those types of things. So we share just really anything that we are doing operating wise here, just to kind of highlight some of those things. But they do have oversight of what we are doing and have to approve various things that are outlined in our bylaws. So it's very important. They have a lot of responsibility, and it can make everybody feel comfortable knowing that we are certainly being advised by a great board of representatives.
Sherry Black, she is the executive director, CEO of State Fair Park in West Dallas. Like she said, it is a little early to be getting too concerned about protocol for the upcoming Wisconsin State Fair and those dairy visitors coming from out of state. But like she said, with Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski on her board and a lot of great advisors, they'll be keeping all exhibitors up to speed. Just continue to check back Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection website for resources, and soon at the Wisconsin State Fair website as well. All right, we'll take a quick break coming up in a moment. Markets this morning trying to rebound after a very tough Wednesday. Numbers are next.
I look at this dairy cow, and again, it's the animal that I love. The things that this dairy cow can do and the way that she can produce milk, to me, there is no substitute for milk in the world. And to be able to keep cows and help cows produce that for people, to me, that's a privilege. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, nutrition and microbials, commonly called probiotics. That's BioVet. Learn more at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
What's that you say? You didn't hear what the guest said, or you missed part of the conversation? No problem. Pop on over to our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, and glance through our podcast playlist. You'll see the entire conversation or the completed show all in that list. Plus, you might stumble across something that you missed. Score! That podcast playlist is also a great way to pass the time in the truck cab or the tractor seat. That's MidwestFarmReport.com.
Wisconsin beef producers are keeping an eye on the international marketplace. Quite literally, two of our Wisconsin beef producers just came back from trips to South Korea and Japan, where they were studying market conditions. Joe Meyer from Unity and Brady Klatt from Clinton were part of the Wisconsin Beef Council delegation on the trip. It was a week-long briefing from Ag Tour officials on what's going on with meat exports to those two regions. Brady Klatt said that it was an excellent opportunity to see firsthand who the consumers are there and listen to their issues. He said some consumers and retailers in South Korea and Japan still have concerns about things like bovine spongiform encephalopathy, BSC, or what was termed mad cow disease, and its traceability. So he said having face-to-face conversation with those consumer buyers, really critical. We'll be having Brady and Joe on the show in the next couple of weeks. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are a little bit mixed. Yesterday was a bloodbath for the Dow Jones Industrial Average and our commodities. Dow Jones average still down almost 300 points this morning. December corn's down a penny at 477. November beans are up 2 at 1199. July wheat right now down 11, 682. Dairy struggled yesterday as well. Barrel cheese was down 2 at 196. 40-pound block cheese dropped 5 1/4 cents to 181. And AA butter was down 2 3/4 cents to 297.5 per pound. The June Class 3 milk that goes into cheese, 2 cents lower right now at 1930. July down 9, currently at 1982 a hundredweight. Is the downturn, a rapid downturn in the dairy segment, a signal that our Wisconsin dairy producers, dairy industry need to pay attention to? Katie Burgess, broker analyst with EverAg, joins us live next on a Thursday morning right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke, General Kelly is someone who lost a son in battle. And at the grave of his son, the then sitting president of the United States, Donald Trump, said, "I just don't get it. What was in it for them?"
To him, it's always been, how can I get my name out there? He's never going to be fulfilled. He's never served something larger than himself. And I think on days like Memorial Day, it's extremely telling.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest, Mr. James Causey. One of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday, Door County is getting national attention as a political bellwether. We'll find out why in our Women Win Wisconsin segment, powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to the talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Our friend Katie Burgess, broker analyst with EverAg. She's one of the voices we rely on, lean on when it comes to what's going on with our dairy prices. Katie, thanks for checking in. Hey, let's talk first about what happened yesterday specifically in our dairy markets. I mean, we'd been on such a tear as far as growth, especially in that butter complex. Yesterday it came down, but then again, so did the Dow Jones Industrial Average in a big way. What was going on?
Yeah, we did see the dairy spot markets fall yesterday. I think a little bit is also a kind of playing out after the cold storage report was released by USDA last week, Friday, ahead of the long weekend. It showed that we just have plenty of butter in inventory. And the butter market, the cheese market over the past few weeks, they've been making new really, really high prices. And so when we take a step back, they probably overdid it a little bit to the upside. We got that report from USDA that showed, hey, guys, we do still have cheese and butter around. And so the market started to relax a little bit after that. We're still at very high prices for this time of year. We're just off those peaks that we saw a couple of weeks back.
And one thing, especially given the economic data that we've been seeing out, housing market slows down, things like that. What are we seeing on the consumption side, Katie? You'd mentioned that retailers had been helping us out by featuring things like cheese and butter. What's going on with the consumption side?
Yes, the data this week showed more of the same. And so especially in some parts of the country, we hear about the best cheese promotions we've seen really dating back to 2020. Butter has been on sale too. And what we know about the consumers right now, as I'm sure all your listeners feel too, is that it's expensive when you go to the grocery store. It's really expensive when you go out to eat. And so consumers are looking for things where they find value. And so it does seem like that has been helping the dairy sales at the grocery store that, hey, they're on sale, so consumers pick it up and put it in their cart. That being said, I don't know that we're totally out of the woods yet, because we are just definitely concerned about how consumers feel given the inflation that has been ongoing. You know, when you go out to eat or go to the grocery store, by the data, it's 20% more expensive than it was 3 years ago. But I think we all have stories about places where we feel like we've paid a lot more than that.
Right, right. Katie Burgess along with us, one of the broker analysts with EverAg. You can always consult with them if you want to talk to Katie or any of the staff. It's not just about dairy. They're your risk management team all the way around. Go to ever.ag and you can start there. Katie, let's take a look at some other headlines that I've been noticing. Maybe not so much focused on consumers, but focused on the changing dynamics of dairy production. All of a sudden, seeing a shuffle in, let's say, the top 10 dairy states. New Mexico falls out and Iowa jumps in?
It's true. I mean, New Mexico, it has been a struggle down there. From a milk price perspective, the farmers tend to get some of the lowest pay prices in the country. And when you think about the outlook for New Mexico, they really struggle with water. So we see dairies for sale down there that seem like they just can't sell at any low price. On the flip side, I think that more and more dairy producers are realizing what we already know about the Midwest, is that it's a great place to farm. We have close access to feed, close access to water. And so from a long-term perspective, it kind of makes sense that we see more of these dairies coming into places like Iowa. South Dakota has had incredible growth because it has all the natural resources that a cow needs.
It is interesting also that the processing facilities are starting to figure that out pretty quickly. Any update on that brand new facility in Dodge City, Kansas, I believe? They were struggling to also situate and find milk.
It's true. I believe that plant is supposed to start up later this year. And I know about a few new dairies going in Kansas, but I also know about a few people that were planning to put a dairy down there, looked at the interest rates and said, no thanks. So I do think that given, you know, a couple years ago when these facilities were planned out, they did put, there's a new cheese plant in Kansas, one in a Texas that opened last year, one in Texas that's going to open next year. We have a lot of capacity in a spot where people aren't quite as excited about dairying anymore. That being said, we are seeing some expansions and more growth in the upper Midwest coming to a little bit later this year and then some in the years ahead.
Where are we going to see those expansions, Katie?
So we have a cheese plant in South Dakota that's expanding. That should be either late this year, early next year. I know they just announced a big sour cream factory for Iowa a couple years down the line. And we've seen some other smaller expansions across some upper Midwest cheese plants as well.
Okay, well, that's good news. Katie Burgess, along with us, one of the brokers to lean on, ever.ag. I just kind of want to remind you about that. What else are you keeping an eye on, Katie? I mean, we are watching, obviously, what's going on with prices, but we also have to keep an eye on weather because that will dictate some of the milk production figures we deal with later this summer.
For sure. I mean, watching feed costs really closely. I know I got the opportunity to drive across Wisconsin over the long weekend. Seems like a lot of spots corn is planted, but definitely some really wet fields out there as well where people haven't been able to get in yet. So just watching carefully how that's going to play out. But nationally, from corn and soybeans, planting caught up to the five-year average this week. So that was good to see. And then from a producer perspective, even though we've been talking about higher prices on the Board of Trade for a few weeks now, producers haven't gotten a good milk check yet. So I think this week, the milk checks that'll land should have a little bit. They'll be based on May Class 3 milk. It'll be $3 higher than it was for the month of April. So hopefully that'll be good to see as it, you know, lands in the checking account.
Still many quality production incentives out there, Katie? Milk fat, protein count?
I feel like some of those incentives have been rolled back. But, I mean, producers do get paid on components. And butterfat levels have been kind of skyrocketing this year. Butterfat production percentage points have been up, well above trendline growth there. So when we talk to milk processing plants, they tell us, even though when you look at the milk production report, volume is down nationally, milk solids are still up. There's still more fat, more protein heading into those plants. And so because of that, you know, production of some of these dairy products is still higher, despite the headline production number being down.
Right. Well, we'll take it all. We'll take it all. Good quality milk. It's what Wisconsin's known for and others across the country. Good enough, Katie. Appreciate you being along with us, kiddo. We'll talk with you again soon, I'm sure.
Thanks, Pam.
Katie Burgess joining us live this morning. She's one of the broker analysts with EverAg. Again, I remind you about their website, ever.ag. And like we tell you, if you missed any of the part of the conversation and had a tough time hearing something, we're going to put it up on our podcast playlist in just a matter of moments. That's MidwestFarmReport.com. MidwestFarmReport.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke. The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. The Todd Alba Show.
Managing editor of E-Bombs World, Mr. Peter Rapine.
Google this week released a new product, the new AI overview. If you Google search, can I use gasoline to cook spaghetti? Google says, no, you can't use it to cook spaghetti, but you can use gasoline to make spicy spaghetti dishes.
Not recommended. Do not do that.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Controlling crop pests as we also deal with climate change. Today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Yesterday, we talked about how climate change is impacting the ability for farmers to control crop pathogens. Today, we move on to crop pests. Hannah Burak chairs the entomology department at Michigan State University and says climate change opens doors to insect problems we didn't have to face in the past.
When we have the ability to move more items around the world from different places, we tend to get our bugs with them. And so when we can use different shipping lanes and move goods and supplies in places where we weren't normally shipping them, and we can ship for longer periods of the year, new things are able to be introduced at a more frequent rate. When they're introduced into an environment that is increasingly warmer and may look more like their native habitat, they're more likely to survive, establish, develop, and cause problems. And once they're established in an area, they then experience those increases in range expansion, more numbers of annual generations per year, and higher overwintering survival that all of the organisms that are already found there are experiencing.
Burak says climate change is also altering insect pest patterns we've been used to seeing forever, and not necessarily in a good way. Tomorrow, climate change and pollinators. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. The jury is still out. Will it be a quick conviction? I'm hoping. Or an agonizing deliberation? I'm hoping.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. Mino and the Mayor.
Dave Hall said, Mayor Schmidt used to have this green jacket that said Mayor Schmidt and used to run the CellCom marathon training run. And I don't know, he was talking to someone. I don't know how that could happen. And he wasn't paying attention and there was a car coming and he's about to go into traffic. And I reached my arm out in front, right in his chest, and I stopped him. I said, Mayor Schmidt, some people think that jacket's Target.
Weekday morning, 6 until 9, on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Watch out! You got me!
The galaxy's safe once again.
In the pretend universe, kids play with pretend guns. In the real world, it's up to us to make sure they don't get their hands on a real gun. If you have a gun in the house, keep it locked, unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
ABC News.